Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from the Gospel according to Mark, the 11th chapter. You may be seated. My dear friends in Christ, it's odd, isn't it, that the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem should also be for us the traditional first Gospel reading in the Advent season. But Advent and Lent, and Advent and Holy Week, are so inextricably linked that it begins to make more sense the more we look at it. In fact, these were so together in the early church, it used to be that Advent would last 7 weeks, the same number of weeks as Lent. It's only recently that we've shortened it up because our attention spans are getting a little shorter, and that's okay too. The incarnation, however, which is the Son of God coming and taking on human flesh, it was necessary in order that God would die. You see, a spirit can't die, and God is spirit, only a body can. Flesh, blood, the things of the earth. And so, in this sense, the incarnation and the crucifixion, they have to go hand in hand. Christmas and the cross are together. Advent looks towards, or back towards, the hope of the incarnation, forward to the second coming. And Lent encourages us to look back to the passion of the Christ, as well as look forward to the day when we will need no longer repent. Advent's about the second coming of the Christ, when he returns to dwell forever with his people. And Holy Week begins where Jesus comes into Jerusalem to die bodily for his people forever. These two seasons, Advent and Lent, and what they lead into, Christmas and Easter, are so linked. The church has often put the same readings in on the same weeks in order to make the point. And so it is that we find ourselves on Palm Sunday today. After all, we Christians are awaiting the end of all things in this life so that we might be saved out of it, right? We want the Lord to come down. We want him to take his vengeance upon the earth that has forsaken him and return it to the state of perfection that he created it in. We want our deliverance, and we will have it. And if that's what you want, that really is what God has in mind all along. But the people in Jerusalem who welcomed Jesus into their city by shouting hosannas and waving palm branches, they wanted a different kind of deliverance. They wanted Jesus to be the conquering king who was going to finally come in and cast out those evil Romans, cast them out of the promised land. How dare the heathens take over their land given to them by their God? Forget that their ancestors worshipped false idols and false gods and lived like the heathens around them, and so God took his presence out of the temple and away from them. Forget all of that. They wanted Jesus to wield the sword and cut off some heads and shoot first and ask questions later. But they wouldn't get that. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, an animal that actually is tied with honor and royalty, and even if we don't see him that way today. You see, the king returning from war, with the war won and his enemies all trampled, well, the king returns on an animal that no one would ride to war. He no longer needs the horse. He has a donkey. Everything's safe. It would say to all of the people that there's no more fight, that the strife is over, the battle is done. And if the king's on the donkey, then all's right with the world. So when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, he's saying the battle's over, the war's finished, and a time of peace is at hand. And the people assumed that he was riding in to finally do what they wanted And he, in fact, was riding in to have those very same people kill him. Our first inclination, I think, is to always look to get what we want, right? I mean, isn't that the Christmas season? You know, we took Eli and Ava down to Port Washington yesterday and went to go see Ho-Ho, as Eli calls him. You know what the first question Ho-Ho asked Eli was? After the, why are you screaming? It was, what do you want for Christmas? Right? That's what Santa Claus always asks. And quite honestly, that's what our Christmas season tends to be about, right? At least the secular season. What do you want? What are you going to get? I remember when I was a kid, I would wait for this time because right around this time, you guys, a lot of you probably remember what I'm talking about. The JCPenney catalog would come. Montgomery Ward, that's right, yeah. And I remember the hours I would spend combing through that thing and circling what I wanted and subtly avoiding all of the clothing. But you see, we always want to get what we want, don't we? That's our first inclination. We prayed that today, we prayed that God would rend the heavens and come down. And sometimes this gets translated in such a way that we want God to rip open the skies and come down and do our bidding. Watch the news. We want him to get rid of the Republicans. We want him to take out the Democrats. We want him to take down the people who do us wrong, who make bad decisions around us, who treat us badly, who work against us. In reality, what we want is we want a God on puppet strings. But our Lord doesn't work that way, at least not on our time. He is going to come back. He is going to rend open the heavens, and he is telling us to pray this way. But when he does all of this, it's not going to be for our purposes. It's to do his will. When we pray that he would come, we will get what we're praying for. And it may be some time before the Lord relieves us of the circumstances that we are facing and we're praying about. He will. You see, our Lord is going to remove our enemies. He is going to make things okay. That day for sure will come. It may come soon. It may come on the day of resurrection. But it will come. And that's what Advent is really all about, the waiting. It's waiting for that second coming of the Christ. We look back to the first coming when our Lord Jesus himself took upon human flesh in order that he would bear our sin and be our Savior. And we learn from him. We seek after him. We grasp onto his teachings. We follow him to the cross. We get the forgiveness of sins and the promise of the resurrection. And we forsake ourselves for the sake of serving our neighbors. And then we look forward. We look forward to the day when he returns. We look forward to the day when he comes again, not laying in a manger, but as the triumphant Lord. We look forward to the day when he returns and all people will see it. The strife is o'er, the battle done. Now is the victor's triumph won. Now be the song of praise begun. Alleluia. Our Lord began all of this with his resurrection from the grave, his ascension into heaven, and he will come in glory to judge both the living and the dead. The dark night of winter will break open when the light of the world shines forth upon us all, and the world is remade to the perfection he had given it in the beginning. We cannot wait for this day. This is why we always pray, come, Lord Jesus. You thought about that? How many of us pray that at our meals? Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let thy gifts to us be blessed. Amen. Yeah. Have you thought about that? That you are praying that he would come? Not just at the meal, but come again? And that meal turns into the feast which has no end? We want him to come. We want him to take away the enemies of the church, and there are the enemies of the church. We want him to take away the world and sin and death and the devil. We want him to come and set things right. And it may be that we have to wait some time for that day. The apostles expected Jesus to return really, 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 really soon, like tomorrow. The church has been expecting Jesus in like the next 5 minutes for 2,000 years. We might have to wait. The church has waited 2,000 years. We might have to wait. But the day is going to come. The day is coming. And as we wait, we work. We work in the spirit of his righteousness. And we do this not to win salvation, but to bring salvation to those who need to hear. Our Lord sends us out into the dark world. Just as he rode into Jerusalem to die, so he sends us out into the world to do the same, that we might reach the lost, that we might be angels, to be messengers, to gather his people into fellowship of the church. The light of the world is coming, and he's to be found in this place. When people want to see in the darkness, the church is the light. You are the light, Jesus says, shining forth the light of Christ to a world in pain, a world in need, a world ready to be remade. Just as our Lord was escorted into Jerusalem with the people who flocked to see him, so shall he be escorted to this world when he descends from the heavens. And we who are alive will rise up to meet him in the air. We'll meet him and we'll cry out, Hosanna, save us. Save us now. Save us, please. And so he will. And with us, thousands, millions will come. Our Lord is not going to come on this earth to do battle. That was won on the cross. Instead, our Lord is escorted in victory. The enemy defeated, put under his feet. Our Lord is victorious. He needs no war steed. He can come on his donkey. He can come driving a pinto if he wants. It's all been won. It's all over. And that day is coming. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.